We may not know certain things that's going to happen in 2020, but not knowing certain things, we can still know how we should behave. Amen. Sort of like when you approach something, you may not know what's going to happen with it, but you have a preconceived biblical notion of what you should do. Now, whether you do it or not is different. Amen. But we should know before it gets there. Amen. So go in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 20. Once you get there, go ahead and stand. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 22, talking about not knowing in 2020. Not knowing in 2020. And stand once you get your place there, if you're able. Acts 20 and verse number 22. Brother Duffy said, if we don't get done soon, he's going to turn into a pumpkin or a piece of cheese, whichever one comes first. Amen. Because Green Bay is playing right now. Acts 20. And verse 22, if he turns into cheese, I'm going to have to take a little piece out, especially if it's jalapeno. Amen. Acts 20 and verse 22, and we're going to read that. That is the first one that we looked at in this series of things that we may not know about in 2020. And so if you're there, read verse 22 with me. Here we go. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Amen. Father, work in our hearts as we look at not knowing in 2020, but certain things that we can know. Lord, thank you so much for this phrase that we see repeatedly in the Bible to give us some encouragement about what we can do, what we should do, Lord, in situations that may be unknown to us. And I pray the Lord for every unknown situation that we have, we'll remember that we have a known God that can take us through the unknowns of 2020. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for being the eternal God of past, present, and future things that may happen to us. So we know you'll go with us in 2020 and guide us in our discussion tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Not knowing in 2020, we talked about Paul's life here, and Paul said this in verse 23. He says, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in verse 22 when I get to Jerusalem, but he said, I do know this. He said, the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I myself, count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy. The ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, Paul had a mindset here. He said, I don't know what's going to happen when I get to Jerusalem. He said, but I'm not worried about that. By the way, how many of y'all worry about the things that are going to happen to you tomorrow when you get to work? Something may happen, something may not happen. But you know what? That's not going to stop you from going to work. I'm still going to go to work. I'm still going to go to school. I'm still going to do whatever it is I have to do. Now, I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. But guess what? I'm not going to let it bother me. Paul said that's his take on ministry. I don't know what's going to happen in 2020. I don't know. You don't know. But guess what? Does it matter? Do I not go into 2020 because I don't know what's going to happen? Do I not continue in parenthood because I don't know what's going to happen? Do I not continue with my wife because I don't know what's going to happen? Do I not continue on living because I don't know what's going to happen? On the contrary, we continue living not knowing what's going to happen. Because we have a God that does know what's going to happen. Amen. And one of the reasons why we can go on not knowing is the first point that we talked about is that we know that we're saved. Amen. And if I know that I'm saved, that can carry me over anything that might befall me. At the end of the day, I'm still saved. When you lay your head down tonight, guess what you're going to still be? Saved. When you wake up tomorrow, guess what you're still going to be? Saved. If your boss fires you, guess what you're still going to be? Saved. If your boss curses you out, guess what you're still going to be? Saved. If you get cut like Michael Jordan, G, when you're a junior, guess what you're still going to be? Discouraged. Amen. Saved. I'm still going to be saved. It matters not. Hey, folks, I made the freshman team in high school. I made the JV team. I became a junior, and they cut me just like Michael Jordan. Guess what I still was? Discouraged. No, I wasn't saved then. Amen. But guess what? Life still went on. I still had school to tend to. I still had grades. I still had chores. I still had a job. I couldn't, Shane, I don't want to do anything anymore. They cut me off the basketball team. What do I do? Life is hard. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Can you cry with me, please? No, Shane said, no, I ain't crying. Basketball ain't worth it. I'm not crying over that, amen. Hey, folks, it doesn't matter because I'm still saved. The only thing that matters is that Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. I'm still saved. So I may not know what's going to happen, but guess what I do know? I'm saved. I remember people used to ask me questions when I was a baby Christian. Just God saved. They say, well, did Adam have a belly button? I don't know, but I got one. Hey, where did Cain get his wife? I don't know, but I got one. Hey, can God make a rock that he can't pick up? I don't know. Ask him yourself. Hey, there was a lot of things I didn't know, but I knew one thing. I'm saved. Ask me how to be saved. I can tell you that. Whether Adam's got a belly button or not, or whether God can make these rocks. I don't know any of that. I've only been saved a few weeks, but I know this. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. God is good. One thing I knew, no matter what was going to befall me, is that I knew that I was saved. Even the people tried to talk me out of it. Well, you didn't get baptized yet, so you're really not saved. You didn't speak in tongues yet, so you're really not saved. Oh, you didn't catch the Holy Ghost yet, so you're really not saved. I didn't know how to chase after him. Amen. And did you catch the Holy Ghost yet? No. How do you catch him? Well, you got to just get the gyrations. And I'm thinking, it's sort of like catching a cold or something. I don't know. They couldn't tell me how to catch the Holy Ghost, but if I didn't catch the Holy Ghost, I wasn't saved. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I got a Bible that tells me whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. But you're telling me I need to catch the Holy Ghost. Something's wrong with that picture. Got to be baptized. I got to be saved. I got to speak in tongues. I got to do all these things. Amen. I got to get cut from the teen shame. Amen. I got to do all these things. No. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So I can know that I'm saved. That's one thing that I don't have to worry about not knowing in 2020. I know I'm saved. If I know I'm saved, guess what? I don't have to worry about what's going to befall me. Paul said, not knowing the things that shall befall me, 22, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying bonds and afflictions abide me. None of these things move me. Amen. Hey, he said, I don't know a lot of things. One thing I do know, I'm saved, and I know the bonds and afflictions are going to abide me. By the way, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so if you're living godly, expect it. So we said the trustiness of salvation is one thing that we can know, but then the toughness of the saints is another thing that we can know when we don't know what's going to happen. The trustiness of the saints. Paul said, it's not going to move me. Amen. Then we talked about this, number three, the timeliness of the scriptures. And we looked at Matthew 22:29, where he said, Jesus said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Are we going to know everything that the Bible says? No. Are we going to understand everything that the Bible says? No. Folks, you can read the Bible till you die every day of your life and study it. And guess what? You still won't understand everything there is to understand. You still won't know everything. But he says, hey, you do err not knowing the scriptures. And we said this, hey, we may not know the scriptures completely, but we can know the timeliness of the scriptures. I can know that there is something for everything that I'm going through. I just need to pick it up and apply it. Amen. Hey, folks, I don't need to look to other avenues and other gurus and other specialists when the Bible says everything that I need to know about life and godliness. And so we talked about the timeliness of the scriptures, how there's an answer for everything that we encounter. And then we looked at our next point as well. And that was in Luke 9:33. And we looked at the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter. In 9:33, it said this. It came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And here's our phrase, not knowing what he said. And we said this, we may not know what to say, but we can know the thoughtfulness of what we say. And what do we say? We need to think before we say something. We need to pray before we say something. Amen. Peter obviously didn't give this a lot of thought before he opened up his mouth. And so he said what he said. And we looked at James, where James said the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. He said, we curse God, curse man, and we bless God. He said, out of the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. He said, these things ought not so to be. And so although we may not know what to say, folks, biblically, we should know what not to say. We should know not what to say. Go over to Proverbs 21 and verse 23. Look at a verse here real quick. Proverbs 21:23. not knowing in 2020. I may not know a lot of things, but I can trust my salvation. I need to be tough as a saint. I need to make sure I understand the timeliness of the scriptures, but also I need to have the thoughtfulness of what I say. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. Who's got that there? Can read that. 21, 23, G2. Who's, now, by the way, notice that. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue. Does that mean to do like this? What does that mean? Whoso keepeth it? Does it mean, honey, can you keep my mouth for me? Can you keep my mouth? Watch what you say. Have some discretion in what you say. By the way, once the words go out of your mouth, can you get them back? Nevermore. Nevermore. I can still see Bill Clinton coming out of the courthouse holding up his Bible and said, I never touched that woman. I can still see it. It came out. And guess what came out later? That he did touch that woman. I can still see it. He lied right through his teeth. What does it say? Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Amen. And so I've got to watch what I say. You've got to watch what you say. Why? Once it goes out, it is gone. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse number 10, 1 Peter 3:10. What are we saying here? I may not know what to say in every conversation. I may not know what to say to everybody, but I can know some things that I shouldn't say, and I can know some ways that I should say some things. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And notice down here in verse number 10. By the way, can Peter tell us something about our tongues? Why can Peter tell us about our tongues? He was always opening mouth and inserting what? Foot. He's the very one that we're looking at. Knowing not what he said. He knew not what to say. So we just said, it's good for us to be here. Let's stay here. One for you, one for him, one for, it's good for us to be here. Not knowing what he said. But notice 1 Peter 3:10 and notice what Peter does tell us here in verse number 10. He says, for he that will what? Love life and what? See good days. Let him what? Refrain his tongue from evil, and what? His lips that they speak no guile. Let him do what? Issue evil and do good. Let him what? Seek peace and ensue it. Why, Peter? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Peter said, watch your mouth because God sees what you're doing and saying. By the way, other people do too. Amen. Hey, folks, we may think that we can get on our chat groups and chat things and all this other stuff and say, well, nobody sees what I'm chatting about. God sees. No one sees what I'm texting about. God sees. No one sees what I'm blogging over here. God sees. No one sees what I'm surfing. God sees. The eyes of the Lord. Oh, and by the way, if God showed what you're surfing and what you're writing to everybody, would you be ashamed of yourself? Sometimes I think yes. Sometimes I think yes. But wait a minute. It didn't come out of my mouth. Didn't have to. The eyes of the Lord are over every place. For we've got to watch what our tongue is saying, even as by chat or by text or by web or whatever, via email. Watch what we say. What am I saying here? We may not know what to say like Peter, but we should know the thoughtfulness of what we say. Let's get to this next one. Go over to Acts chapter 5 and verse 7. Acts chapter 5 and verse 7. In Acts chapter 5, verse 7, we're going to see another not knowing phrase. Acts chapter 5 and verse 7. Who knows who comes in Acts chapter 5 in the beginning of the verse? Who was that? Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira. And guess what? We find the ominous phrase not knowing in verse number 7. Give you the update so far. Ananias and Sapphira agreed to sell a piece of land and to sell it for, let's say, $100. But then when they sold it for $100, they kept back $50 and said, we sold our land for $50. Did they tell the truth?
What'd they do?
They kept back part of the price. They sold it for 100, but they kept 50 back here for themselves and said, we sold this for 50. Look how generous we are. We're such blessed givers. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's us. But they kept back part of the price. Is there anything wrong with keeping back part of the price? No, they didn't have to sell it. Is there anything wrong with keeping back part of the price? What's the problem in what they're doing? They lied about it. They deceived because Peter clearly said, did you sell it for so much? Yeah, we sold it for so much. No, you didn't. You sold it for this much. But you kept that part back. Our phrase, not knowing, is found here. Now, her husband has already died. Peter said, you lied. That's it. Give up the ghost. And he died. He fell down. Notice verse 5. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. Matter of fact, pick it up in verse 1. Amen. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. And nothing wrong with that so far. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? He said, when you had it, could you do with it what you want to? Of course, the answer is yes. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Of course, I can do whatever I want to do with it. But why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the what? Ghost. That's a term meaning he died as a saved person. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done. There's our phrase, not knowing what was done. And by the way, not knowing what was done, did she have to lie? No, she didn't have to lie. Did she know her husband was dead for lying? No, she knows she probably would have told the truth. She probably would have told the truth. About the space 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And by the way, let me say this. We may not know what has been said and done before us, but we can know the truthfulness in our service and our sayings. In other words, I may not know what's been said and done before I get here, but I need to be honest and truthful in what I say and what I'm doing. She didn't have to lie. But she did. Notice what it says. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. In other words, for the price that is the wrong price. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. How'd you like to have been in that service? The husband comes in and lies to the Holy Ghost, and he dies. They take him out and bury him. Wife comes down. Hey, by the way, did you sell the land for some? Oh, yeah, we sure did. And he says, you have lied to the Lord. You're going to die to him. Pow, and she dies. What do you think they did to everybody else? Scared them to death. Hey, if Christians walked into church and they were in sin, start dying, we would be scared to death. Who sinned this week? Not me. Pow. Okay, anybody else? Let's give it a second try. Who sinned? After the first two that died, everybody be, I'm a wicked sinner, sinners in the hands of an angry God. We'd be Jonathan Edwards. Down there, oh, Lord, forgive me. Amen. If it happened on that fashion, people would be getting right, left, right. We think that we can fool God. We cannot. The eyes of the Lord over every place. He sees what we're doing. He knows what we're doing. And so for us to think that we can pull it, if God did what he did back in these early church days, we would have some right churches. Amen. But because he doesn't, we think we can get away with sin. Amen. We come in church with sin. We come in, it's in our minds, it's in our hearts, it's in our hands. We just handled it before we came in. We're going to pick it up when we go out, and we have so much sin. And if God were to judge, oh my soul. Y'all better be glad, and I'm glad that we're in New Testament times where God is merciful and gracious. Amen. Because we would be taken out. We would. Hey, we may not know what has been said and done, before us, but we can know truthfulness and service. There's no excuse for Sapphira to die here. Knowing the truth, you and I need to be honest with God and with others in what we do. A couple of verses here. Go over to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. We should be honest with God in what we do. And by the way, sometimes we can get so anesthetized to sin that we really don't even see a problem with it. We don't see a problem with fraternizing with the world. We don't see a problem with playing footsies with the world. We don't see a problem with all the things that the Bible talks about being unequally yoked and getting with unsaved people and hanging out with us. We don't see anything wrong with it. And that's when we're in real dire trouble, because we don't see a problem with it. Amen. When God sees big problems with it. Proverbs chapter 12. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. Take it up with God. Amen. Proverbs 12 and verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a what? False witness what? Deceit. Come over to chapter number 14. Chapter number 14 of Proverbs. What am I saying here? We may not know what's been said and done before us, but we can know truthfulness in our service and our sayings. Proverbs chapter number 14. And notice verse number 5. A faithful witness will not what? Lie, but a false witness will utter what? Lies. Come over to chapter number 19. Chapter 19, what am I saying? We have to be truthful in our service, no matter what other people do. Amen. Proverbs chapter 19, and verse number 5. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and that's not it. 19, verse 5. Okay, there we go. A false witness shall not be what? Unpunished. By the way, is there a such thing as a successful sinner? Does it look like sinners get away with sin at times? Sometimes it does. And by the way, you look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Did it look like they were successful sinners? For a long time it did. Until one day. By the way, even Lot and his family got out. And they were told not to look back. Did his wife successfully get away? And all she did was look back. Wow. God's not playing. A false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaketh lies shall not what? Escape. And so we have to be truthful in our service and our sayings, no matter what others say. Don't let anyone con you into lying. Don't let them get you into lying. I know children are always involved in lying and covering for one to another. Amen. Why? I was a child once too. Amen. Amen. Pass the white down the sticks. Amen. Well, if you don't tell on me, I won't tell on you. And you're both guilty sinners. And then third party comes and tells on both of you. And then what do you do? Amen. You're really in trouble. Amen. Show you this last one here. Proverbs 19:9. Notice what it says down there. Almost identical to verse number 5. Almost identical. It just changes at the end. Instead of shall not escape, this one says shall perish. Notice verse number 9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall what? Perish. God is going through great length to let you know that Ananias and Sapphira got their just due. Because they lied to the Holy Ghost, and they were not to lie to the Holy Ghost. By the way, folks, we're not supposed to lie to the Holy Ghost either. We just think because God is long-suffering and gracious in his dealings with us that we can keep sinning, but you can't keep sinning and get away with it. There is a price to pay sooner or later. There is such a thing called sowing and reaping. By the way, we try to, I had this devotion. Let me read this real quick with you about sowing and reaping. And this is about a farmer. And it says, change the seeds to change the harvest. And it says this, every farmer knows exactly what crop he's going to harvest. Although he does not know how much rain will fall, how hot the sun will be, or whether his harvest will be excellent, average or poor, he does know what he will be harvesting because he knows what he planted. God has ordered and established the world from creation with the principle of sowing. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Genesis 1:11. Every harvest is determined by the seed. Here's where he put the punchline in. Many people do not like the painful harvest that follows sin and disobedience, but they are unwilling to plant righteousness. Ouch. Ouch. There is no alternative plan. You will reap whatever you choose to sow. Ouch. Ouch. By the way, folks, that's a universal principle. what you sow, you will reap. You reap later and you reap more, but you will reap what you sow. He goes on to say this, every person who laments the bitter harvest of evil consequences that follows wicked living has only himself to blame. Likewise, those who plant obedience can confidently expect blessings to follow. What are you planting? Ouch. Ouch. It hurts, but it's the truth. Amen. Hey, children, what you sow, you're going to reap. What you sow, you're going to reap. Amen. Amen. What's that? Amen. Amen. All right. So think about this now. Trustiness in what we say and truthfulness in what we say as well. I'll give you this next one here. This is a good one. Romans 2:4. Let's go over there real quick. Romans 2:4. This one I like. I like this one. Romans 2:4. Again, not knowing. Romans 2:4. By the way, in Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3, God is convicting the world and convincing them of their wickedness. And in Romans chapter number 2, he is continuing to catalog sin and letting everybody know that they are without excuse when it comes to their sinful behavior. Here he's dealing with the man that tries to claim has his moral code, so to speak. Amen. And he's a judger of others. Now, notice what he says here in verse number 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Notice verse number 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Notice our phrase, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What is he saying there? He's saying that because God is so good to you, that should lead you to repentance. Now, what story comes to mind? How about the prodigal son? When the prodigal son got so far away from God, what did he remember and who did he remember? His father. And what did he remember about his father? How good he was even to the servants. And the goodness of his father enabled him to repent and change his direction from the hog pens eating the slop with the pigs. And he said, I will return to my father because I know he's good. He will at least take me back as a servant. And that's exactly what he said. He said, take me back as a servant. And the father restored him as a son. Paul is saying here that you and I, the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. And sometimes we don't recognize how good God is to us and how merciful he's been in stopping judgment on us. Amen. Hey, you ever get into an accident? You say, oh, praise God, that didn't happen. Or you almost get hit. Praise God, that didn't happen. Or a car comes real close to you and they just miss you. Praise God, what happened? The goodness of God. And the goodness of God, he says, should lead you right back to how good God really is. And it should bring you to repentance. What brought me to be saved? I saw my sin, the judgment of sin, and how God was going to take me despite my sin. You know what I did? Just like the prodigal son. I will return. I'm going to leave sin. Wow, that's going to hell. And the goodness of God led me to repentance. I knew he'd take me back. I knew he'd receive me. What am I saying here? You and I may not know all the goodness of God, but we can know the tenderness of our Savior. He will always be there for us. He will always take us back. He will always do right by us if we only repent and come back to him. Amen. I'm so glad for the goodness of God. I am so glad for the goodness of God. Hey, when a parent wants to bring a child back to themselves as a youngster, normally they have to chasten them or correct them in some way, shape, fashion, or form. But it's always because the parent loves the child and they want what's best for the child. God does the same thing for us. He does the same thing for us. Proverbs 3:12, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Hebrews 12:6 says it this way, whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The tenderness of our Savior. We may not know all the goodness of God, that should lead us to repentance, but we can know enough of the goodness of God. Amen. We can know enough of the goodness. By the way, is God good to you? God is good to us better than we are to ourselves. God is good to us when the world tries to bamboozle us, the world tries to say, well, I'm better than God. And there are some people that believe that. The gods of this world can bamboozle you very, very good, especially if you're in the flesh and you're worldly. Amen. But God is good, and his goodness should lead us to repentance. Amen, folks. Let me give you this last one before we get ready to close here. And all these are things not knowing. We may not know these things, but we can know the goodness of God. We can know the tenderness of our Savior, although we may not know all the goodness that he has given us. Come over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, this is the last one we're going to look at in this phrase of not knowing. And this one may have the most bearing in your life, positionally speaking. Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 and verse 8, of course, this is the hall of faith here. And we come to Abraham. We've already looked at Noah in verse number 7. Enoch in verse 5, Abel in verse number 4, and we come here to verse number 8, and look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Notice that he was called to go out into the place afterwards he'd find out where he was going. What did he do? He went out, what's those next two words? Not knowing whither he went. God may ask us to go someplace this year, and we don't know where we're going. And he says, I'll tell you when you get there. How'd you like that? We're going somewhere. I want you to go out and step out by faith. You won't know till we get there. Hey, by the way, if God asks you to step out in his will, you're not out of his will. But if you step out in your will, you're out of his will. Be careful where you're going, not knowing where you're going, because sometimes we can sow some bad seed, think we're going where God wants us to go, and that's not where he wants us to go. And we will reap from that seed that we sow. Abraham went out at the voice of God, not knowing where he went. And sometimes we can make choices and we can make decisions and we can go in a direction that we think is right, and it may be wrong. Be sure it's the will of God. In this instance, the Bible clearly says that God directed Abraham to go out, and he said, you go, I'll tell you when you get there. This is the direction, and I will let you know. By the way, when he had to offer up Isaac, it was the same way. He said, go and offer Isaac onto a mountain that I will show you. Bible says about 3 days later, he said, okay, this is the place. Amen. How'd you like to do that? 3 days later, where are we going? Going to sacrifice. And what did Isaac say? I see the wood. I see the fire. Where's the lamb? And what did he say? God's going to supply himself a lamb. Hey, what happened? He went not knowing. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. God told me to do this. This is the direction. And I'm going out not knowing. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to turn out. God may tell you to make some decisions this year that you don't think it's possible. Faith promises coming up in March. He may say, make this promise. Want you to give this much. You say, I don't see how I can do that. Understand that God is able. Understand God's able. Hey, he may tell you by faith to do something that you don't think you can do. We may not know where 2020 will take us, but we can know the trustfulness in our stepping if we're following God. The caveat is make sure you're following God. Make sure you're following the will of God, because the devil has a will too. The devil has a role too. The devil has some things for you as well. The devil has some seeds that he wants you to sow and plant as well, so that you can reap a harvest of wickedness and sin and say it's God's fault because you stepped out at God's command. Be sure you're following the voice of God. Abraham was, Noah was, Enoch was, Abel was, on and on down through that passage. Others were. Isaac was, Jacob was, Joseph was, Moses did, Rahab did, Joshua did, on and on. They stepped out in faith, not knowing oftentimes where they were going, what they were doing, how they get there. But guess what? It all worked out. Remember at the Red Sea? They said, Moses, you brought us here to kill us. You went somewhere not knowing where you're going. Here now our backs are against the wall. Pharaoh's out there. We're going to die. You don't know what you're doing. I know what I'm doing. God told me this is where we need to go. What did God tell Moses? Tell him to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, what I got you exactly where I want you, because I want you to go across this Red Sea, because I know Pharaoh's going to come and I'm going to kill him right there. I know exactly where I want you to be. Folks, if God wants you to be someplace, go where God wants you to be. Step out where God wants you to go. Say, what did he say? Not knowing whither he went. But you know what he did know? He knew that God was going to be there. And he knew God was going to take him where he needed to be. We may not know where we're headed at God's command in 2020, but we can be sure he will never lead us where his grace cannot keep us. He will always go with us. He will always go with us. Exodus 33 and 14, God told Moses this. He said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give thee rest. What am I saying here? We may not know where 2020 is going to take us, but we can trust the Lord and we can step out not knowing. Folks, these are all phrases where the Bible says people did things not knowing, not knowing. Now, folks, we're in 2020 already. We've got 12 days under our belt already. Day 13 is coming tomorrow. None of us know what's going to happen. We don't know. But there are certain things that we can know. We can know the trustfulness in our stepping if we're going at God's command. We can know the tenderness of our Savior. The goodness of God should lead us to repentance. We can know the truthfulness in service. No matter what's been said and done, we need to tell the truth. Amen. We can know the thoughtfulness of what we say. No matter what we say, we need to pray before we say it. We can know the timeliness of Scripture. We do err not knowing the Scriptures, folks. And then we started off with the toughness of the saints. Paul said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Folks, 2020, we don't know what's going to happen. Just like we don't know what's going to happen next time. Hey, folks, when I was a young teenager, had just met my wife that freshman year, that sophomore year, and went home. Y'all know the story. Got my hair cut, and my hair has never been the same since. Been bald ever since at 18. I didn't know what was going to happen from that point on. I thought, do I have cancer? I didn't know a lot about medicine back in those days. Everybody that I saw bald was cancer patient. So I thought I had cancer. But folks, I didn't know what was going to happen after that. I didn't know what was going to befall me after that. Didn't know what was going to happen when I went back to college. Didn't know what was going to happen thereafter. Am I sick? Is there something internally wrong? Am I going to die? I'm still alive. Doctor still hadn't figured it out except to say that my cells are fighting against each other. Duh, I kind of knew that. I feel the war going on, amen. But am I going to die? I don't know. Folks, we don't know. I've seen well people that died and it seemed like there was nothing wrong with them. Then I've seen people that look like they should be dead and they're still alive. Don't know. Don't know. But I do know this. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself that I may finish my course with joy. Why? Folks, whether or not things go the way I think they should go in 2020, I'm still saved. And when I close my eyes, I'm going to be in heaven with the Lord. I'm going to see my grandma, my papa, my aunt, and the rest of them that went on before me. I'm going to see them all. Some of them I led to the Lord. And I'm looking forward to seeing them. But I don't know what's going to happen in 20. Paul didn't know what was going to happen. He said, I know this. I'm not going to see some of you anymore. That I do know. We don't know. Folks, you and I have to be committed to serve the Lord, not knowing what's going to happen. Is it going to go our way? It might. It might not. But whether it goes our way or not, one thing we do know, God's in our corner. God's on our side. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I don't know your condition. I don't know your state. I don't know what you're involved in. I don't know what's going to happen in your 2020, no more than I know what's going to happen in mine. Don't know what's going to happen to my precious children. They don't know what's going to happen to me. Don't know what's going to happen to my wife. Don't know what's going to happen to my assistant and his dear wife, my deacons and his wife. Don't know what's going to happen to Brother Kelly, Brother Shad. I don't know. Hey, folks, I didn't know Darlene was going to go to glory last year. I didn't know that. Didn't know Carlene was going to go when she went. Didn't know. What am I saying? We don't know what this year is going to bring, but we do know this. We've got to trust God with it. The same way we trusted him last year. He wants us to trust him more this year. And guess what? With great trust comes great trials. So get ready for God to maybe turn the heat up on your trust, because he wants to trust you more. And the only way you'll do it is if he turns the heat up a little bit more than he did in 2019. Preacher, I don't like that. I want my same faith. God doesn't want you to keep the same faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And sometimes it gets a little tough. It gets a little tough. We're just on our way here, talking about going back east this year to the conference. And G2 said, we're going to go to North Carolina, Brother Frank's. He's the last one to want to go there, because two times he went there, we had to take him to the hospital. He passed out one time and just fainted, just passed out, stopped breathing. We thought, well, he's dead or what happened? Next time he threw up all over the place. But he wants to go, not knowing what's going to happen when he gets there. You going to get sick this time?
No.
You know that for sure? No, we don't know what's going to happen. We really don't. But you know what? We're going to go trusting God to take us through. You know what? We travel back east. We may never come back again. We may die on the road. I really don't know. Hey, there's an Iranian plane just got shot down. You think those people boarded that plane thinking I'm going to get shot down today? No. They boarded that plane thinking I'm headed to my destination, but they never got off the plane. What am I saying? Not knowing. Children going to schools get shot, not knowing. Bandits come into churches shooting, not knowing. Not knowing. But we have to be resolved to say, none of these things move me. I'm not going to serve God scared. I'm not going to serve God frightened, like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I'm going to serve God no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Father, help us now. As we look at 2020, we really don't know what's going to happen. Not knowing sometimes can bring fear. But Lord, one thing we do know is that we're saved. Lord, one thing we do know is that you're the God of heaven and earth. One thing we do know is that, Lord, none of these things should move us like Paul. And Lord, one of the things that we do know is that you're the God of heaven and earth. And as the Lord, you are our shepherd. We have no need of want, Lord, so work in us, work through us, help us as we step and as we walk and as we are guided by your word. Lord, help us to go where you want us to go, to say what we want.